Paul Culliver on ABC Capricornia.
Cal Dillon is the General Manager of Maritime Safety Queensland. Good morning to you, Cal Dillon.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Good to have you on the show. So,
thanks.
It's been an operation for the last few days to get rid of this boat, 27-metre long motor vessel. How's it been going?
Yeah, it's been going pretty well. We would have liked to have got rid of it a couple of days earlier than now, but the weather was against us, particularly last weekend and early this week. And, of course, the whole operation, because of where it ended up on the beach, it was restricted by tides so we could get to it. You know, so we had to really work between the tides, so that restricted our daily activity. So, it's been quite challenging, but we're certainly getting there.
Can you take us just through the step-by-step how you've been doing this operation?
Yeah, sure. So, we were engaged with the owner last week to try and encourage the owner to take charge of the salvage operation or remove the vessel themselves, and that proved fruitless. So we had to step in, and in the interest of the public, particularly the area where it was, in such a public area, that we had to move ourselves in on that. So we brought in a contractor, Fodico, from Gladstone. We were due to start actually on the weekend, last weekend, but the weather was pretty foul. So it's involved big heavy machinery brought up from Gladstone and a number of workers and heavy-duty equipment. I don't know if you've seen it personally, but it's a pretty heavy-duty, boat. 27 metres, heading towards, 90, 95 feet long. Equipment on board and machinery and, furniture and everything else. So deconstructing it during this week proved that that was the best way to get rid of it quickly. You could spend a couple of months taking it apart bit by bit, but that obviously wasn't in the interest of the public. So we moved quicker than that to remove it. During this week when we could, as I said, between tides, we've actually cut the vessel. Well, we first of all gutted the vessel inside, except for the machinery. We took the cabin off. I think it was about Wednesday we took the cabin off and then spent the rest of the time, preparing it for the next stage. And the next stage involved cutting it in two, which happened yesterday. The lighter section, which is, the bow section up front, where the engines are down the back. So we cut it in half, pulled the lighter section up off the beach yesterday afternoon, and it's in the disposal area that we've set aside right now. And then today, when the tides allow, it's probably happening, pretty much now, they'll get in there and drag the heavier part up above the high water mark so that we can continue working at it throughout the day. So when the tide comes in, we're not having to stop work. And then we'll finish during that this afternoon, and by late this afternoon, fingers crossed, it should all be gone.
How much is the operation costing?
I can't really go into those sorts of commercial arrangements. Of course, we've got contractors involved and so on. So these things aren't cheap, unfortunately. In the interest of the public, it was very clear that we need to get rid of that thing as fast as we could. So we moved pretty quickly on it.
Do you send the bill to the owner?
Yeah, well, look, there's provisions, certainly. I can't really go into this particular case because there's all kinds of commercial inconfidence and letters of illegal things going on. But that's certainly always our intention, is for owners to pay for, they're the vessel owner. Not unreasonable, like any other vehicle, or the car or anything else, that if someone has an accident, that they remove it themselves. So that's the path that we always go down on. But sometimes that's why I said before, we encourage the owner to take charge of themselves, but sometimes we have to step in because, it's an uncertain time frame and these things can sometimes drag on for weeks and months. So we stepped in.
Yeah. Are you able to tell us whether there's any possibility that there are criminal offences associated with it?
Oh, I really can't go into it at this stage, no. So, obviously they're the angles we look at. We always look at all those sorts of angles pretty carefully. That's ongoing as all.
Yeah, sure. Do you have a value of this vessel? Would you be able to ballpark it?
What, now or before? I'll tell you its value now, if you like. Not very much. We had a bit of a look at it. It looked certainly in the state it was in when we arrived there. It wouldn't be much because it was submerged and being hammered by the by the weather and waves and so on. So, you know, those kinds of vessels, I mean, I'm not an expert on those. Being a humble public servant is not something I have to worry about. But, you know, it's certainly, you know, those things aren't cheap, that's for sure. And but, you know, the other thing is just simply the challenge involved in a structure that big and getting rid of it in such a short time frame has certainly concentrated our attention. And we're very pleased that the progress has led us where we are today, where hopefully this afternoon we'll be able to say job done.
Yeah. Just on the cost of it, we were just trying to throw some numbers around in the office. If we said something like $5 million or upwards of that, are we kind of in the right place?
Oh, you know, it depends on, you know, its exact fit out and build standards matter as well.
Yeah.
You know, what it's used for, you know, obviously ocean going ones are built to a heavy duty standard than inshore ones and so on. So, but yeah, the spectrum could be anything between, you know, who knows, you know, $1 to $5 million, maybe more.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, new on medicals.
I guess what I'm also getting at there is, I'm sure there's been, you know, you've detailed the need to get rid of this boat and the best way to get that done quickly. There would be community members that go, well, hang on a minute, wasn't there something salvageable here? Couldn't we recycle this or save it or do something here?
Sure. Look, good question. And these things are always a balance, you know. So certainly we've instructed the contractor, and I've been watching, you know, day by day, very, very closely. We've had people on scene as well watching as well. We're salvaging what we can, but it's a necessity of, you know, as I said before, if you want to salvage everything, you can pull it apart piece by piece, but seriously, you're talking weeks and months to pull it apart. You know, we got the message, the feedback from the community loud and clear, but, you know, obviously we were watching ourselves and had our own opinion on when it needed to be pulled out. Rather quickly, but the community feedback was in line with our thoughts as well. So that was to get rid of it and get rid of it quickly. So, you know, it's always a balance, you know, we're certainly acting in the best interest of the public in getting rid of things as fast as we can.
Yeah. There were some concerns, particularly after the first day of operation, to get rid of this boat on Lammermoor Beach, that some of that debris had maybe escaped kind of a containment zone and had gone a bit further than it should have. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, look, yeah, these things are always, you know, it's sort of part of the nature of that operation like that, unfortunately. Certainly we put booms around it, you know, sometimes these sorts of things are in easier locations. So, you know, just keep in mind the tide coming in and the weather giving this thing a good beating doesn't make that process any easier. So even your booms, I mean, the booms you put around it, people sort of say, let's put a boom around it, but don't forget that the tides come right in. Up over the vessel and then going out again, which leaves the booms on the hard sand during the night, and wind and waves and everything else. So they get beaten around too. You know? So when we're deconstructing it, we know that it was some debris that came out of it. A lot of it's linings and other bits and pieces. And look, I get it doesn't look good in the short term, but what happens is that when we were conscious of where the wind was coming from, which is blowing most stuff up on the beach. Not ideal, well, we get that, but we've been very, very diligent in making sure that, and I've had people down there all week, making sure that the contractor and our own staff have been picking up every single piece that they can, and I'm including, you know, down to rake level, you know, getting things out of the water. We're going to have the contractor coming back over the next couple of months, a couple of times a week, plus our own staff will be keeping an eye on the site just to see if anything comes out of the sand. You know, things drop in the sand and they wash up on the next storm or the next tide and so on. We're doing everything we can to make sure everything's removed from the beach, you know, down to the smallest pieces possible.
Yep. And there's been a bit of confusion or conjecture over whether this boat did actually leak any oil or petrol or anything like that. Do you know?
Look, the information we have is that if it did, it was very, very minor. And that might have been the first day or so. And you get in the bilges of vessels, you know, oily substances that build up over time and so on. So I think there's a bit of that. And there was a lot of sediment flying around too, so, you know, mud being stirred up and so on. So I saw a lot of aerial photos and had a look at it. And the tender itself, you know, the small boat that's attached to it, it had a small fuel tank on it, which was not ruptured. But there was, you know, there may have been a very, very small amount, but nothing substantial, that's for sure, and we were certainly ready to go. We had booms there ready to go to boom it entirely, like proper oil spill booms. But at the time, it was very rough, and you're very limited in the ability to run that boom out and around the vessel in heavy weather conditions. And, you know, and I've got the safety of our people to worry about in small boats out there trying to operate booms and everything else as well. But there was no real need for, there wasn't anything significant coming out of it. And if it did, it dissipated pretty quickly. There's nothing there now from an oily substance perspective. Yeah. It's just some of the debris that's coming out of it during the deconstruction, as I described just a second ago.
Cal, this has just been a source of just incredible community fascination and concern, of course, as well. What have you made of it? Just is this common to see just a whole community sort of obsessed with the boat?
Oh, well, it depends what the scenario is, of course. But look, a boat of that size, I mean, it's pretty hard to hide sitting up on the beach like that. A particular location it was in, and it would be unusual for sure. But part of our role is to make sure that clean the safer seas. We monitor, we've got 7,000 kilometres of coastline in Queensland, so it's a big area, and we're very, very diligent, understand our roles and responsibilities. But we've got people that are very passionate as well, so what we want is what the community wants as well, so yeah. Keep things clean and safe and so on. So not usual for a vessel that size, particularly in a place like that, and made a lot harder because it was even though you've got the reef out there, giving full-on ocean swell protection, but it has a level of openness from the ocean there and the waves and seas, which is not usual. So if you normally you have a vessel, smaller vessels in an inlet and so on, so you can work on them easier. You got better access, those sorts of things. Mm. This is pretty unusual being in an exposed location like that, but also right smack where it was of a vessel that size. So it's entailed a pretty big operation, as everyone's seen.
Yeah. So just to repeat, I think you said this at the top. So by the end of today, in theory, it'll all be gone.
Yeah, that's our plan for today. We've got a big day today, so yeah. They're dragging it up above the high water mark. As I said before, what's limited us today is when you can only work in a low tide, of course, is when you get to it. And the tide comes in, you can stop work for the day. And that could have been 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So today, we'll drag it right up above the high water mark. They'll be working right through till probably till dark, I would say, or close to it. And hopefully we'll have everything done by this afternoon. Look, it might flow into tomorrow morning, depending on if something goes wrong. You have machinery breakdowns as well, that can happen. But our plan is to have it gone by late this afternoon, if not very first thing tomorrow morning.
That's great. Cal, look, you've been really good to answer all those questions. I really appreciate it. Lots of information there, so it's been really handy.
Okay, and thanks to the public too for their patience. And while this has been going on, we get it; it's not easy. And there's been traffic disruptions and beach walking disruptions, and we get all that. But our aim is to get rid of this thing as fast as we can. And in order to do that, we have to bring in some pretty heavy duty equipment to get it done as quickly as we could. But by the weekend, we should be back to normal.
Cal Dillon, thanks so much.
No problem at all. Thank you.